You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to be welcoming in CNN anchor Lou Dobbs, who talks about in his new book how the two-party system is no longer representing the will of the people and how the 2008 elections are the first opportunity to bring about real change. We will talk with him about the ideas that he raises in his new book, Independence Day, Awakening the American Spirit. Lou Dobbs is, of course, someone you see maybe every night on CNN. He is anchor and managing editor of CNN's Lou Dobbs Tonight and anchor of the nationally syndicated financial news radio report, the Lou Dobbs Financial Report. He has received the Peabody Award, the Luminary Award by the Business Journalism Review, and an Emmy Lifetime Achievement Award. His latest book, Independence Day, Awakening the American Spirit. And Lou Dobbs joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good
Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
I notice you're on a campaign of sorts to get people to register as independents prior to the 2008 presidential election. Why are you doing that?
Because, just as you said, the reality is that neither one of these political parties, the Republican or Democratic parties, is representing mainstream America anymore. Neither party representing the working man and woman and their families in this country. And they are spending all of their time, just about all of their time, representing either special interests or corporate America. And frankly, the American people are the last consideration of our elected officials.
Yeah. Well, with the 2008 presidential election in mind, are you, well, there's been some talk as to whether or not you might even jump in as an independent candidate. Is that, are you serious about that? Are they serious about that?
Well, they may be serious about it, but it's the last thing I could imagine happening, Joy. You know, I'm an advocacy journalist. I love my role. I think it's an important one, and I believe that we're starting to have an effect in this country. Focusing on reality. So if I were a candidate, I assure you I'd be the candidate of last resort. There'd be about 300 million people in front of me.
You know, I talked yesterday with Pat Buchanan, and he has a new book out, and we were talking some about current politics and whether or not he does not encourage anybody to run as an independent for president. In part, we were talking about Ron Paul possibly running as an independent if he doesn't get the Republican nomination. He says that's going to hurt the Republicans, and he would not encourage that.
Well, you know, that's fine. If he's a Republican, he's a conservative, and he's concerned about hurting one wing of one element of a party that's absolutely irrelevant. I happen to think if we could hurt both of these parties, that would be a wonderful thing for the national interest and the common good, because they've spent the last quarter century making certain that they don't represent American interests, the interests of working men and women, as I said, the interests of middle-class America, or the will of the majority. So I would simply dismiss what Mr. Buchanan had to say on the issue altogether.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask our on-air producer to try to reestablish contact with our guest, Lou Dobbs. The telephone line is a little bit fuzzy and difficult to hear, and I have him turned up all the way. So let's see if we can establish a little better connection. And again, welcome in your questions for him. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 9 o'clock this morning, Kathleen Dunn is with you. The Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday in a case deciding the legal rights of terrorism suspects held at Guantanamo Bay. Kathleen will welcome in a couple of different guests to talk about this case coming up after 9 o'clock. Then after 10, how well do perfectionists navigate their lives? After 10, Kathleen and her guest will discuss how perfectionism can lead to mental health problems. So stay tuned for an interesting discussion on issues between 9 and 11 with Kathleen Dunn and her guest. Speaking of interesting discussions, we are talking with Lou Dobbs for the rest of this hour. He is author of Independence Day, Awakening the American Spirit. And we welcome your thoughts for him, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. To the phones we go. Craig in Onalaska. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to speak with both of you. Mr. Dobbs, I listen to you almost on a nightly basis, and I'm very interested in the amnesty problem and border control problems. What would you say is the most important question to ask our politicians in this regard?
The most important, I believe, and first, thank you for the nice words, but I think the most important question to ask of any of these elected officials is why, after 6 years, after September 11th, they still have not secured our borders and our ports. That is, obviously goes beyond illegal immigration, but it's central to the question. That both parties acknowledge we're in a war on terror, and we have 160,000 young men and women in Iraq, but these parties have not secured our borders or our ports, and I think we need to understand clearly why they would fail to do so.
Yeah, don't you think that that the issue is taking on more and more importance in the presidential race, with more of the candidates, even on the Democratic side, taking stronger stands on border security and illegal immigration?
Absolutely, and the reason for that is that the American people are finally having someone listen to their voices. This has been a very important issue for the American people, Joy, for several years now. But these elitists who are supposed to be representing the American people in both Congress, the Senate, and the White House are only now catching up to the fact that after hearing from them on the vote on comprehensive immigration reform, that they'd better take seriously the concerns of the American people.
Yeah. Anything else, Craig?
No, the only other comment that I would make is when I talk with people, I always politely listen to their side of the issue. But then I ask them, how many people do they allow into their own personal homes without their permission? And almost to a person, you'll get a kind of a odd look, and then they'll say, well, of course, I don't let anybody. Then I ask them, well, if you're going to do that, why do you let people into my homeland without my permission or the permission of the U.S. government as far as knowing who's in our in our territory?
Yeah. And go ahead, Lou Dabbs.
I think that's a very apt metaphor. In this instance, though, it's the government permitting them, illegal employers permitting them, and frankly telling the American people to go to hell. We don't care what the majority of our citizens think or feel about this issue. We're going to do what we please. And corporocracy in this country is alive, it's flourishing, and we had better stop it here, because the next step is not one that will be very pleasant for anyone.
Yeah. Any reaction, Lou Dobbs, to Mitt Romney firing his lawn service yesterday because it had employed illegal immigrants?
You know, I think at this point that when people get down to that level, I think it's a little, I've got sufficient personal regard, I guess, for Mitt Romney. But what is the point of that? The issue is a matter of public policy. The fact that we have the largest number of employees in the country by industry who are illegal aliens are resorts, restaurants, hotels, landscaping, construction in this country. And in all of those industries, wages are declining because of illegal labor. Now, what is Mitt Romney going to do? Is he going to sell stock in all the companies that are hiring illegal aliens? No, the issue is one of public policy, and we've got to secure our borders, we've got to secure our ports, and make some determination on the future of immigration policy in this country. I understand he's running for office, but pandering back to the charges by Giuliani by taking such an action, I think is first unnecessary and hardly in the public spirit that I'd like to see people operate.
John in Madison is with us now. Hi, John.
Morning, guys. I'm the general counsel of a medium-sized Wisconsin corporation, and I'm a hardcore moderate, and I think Mr. Dobbs.
I like that.
I unfortunately think you're just off base on the immigration side. All corporations are looking at China, wringing their hands, going, "My goodness, what a potential market!" But my goodness, they certainly steal our IP. Funds like Carlyle, the private equity funds, can't get deals done there. You have a potential market of what, 8, 10, 12 million people here. It's a heck of a market of people who all they really want to do is get a job, pay their bills, take out a huge mortgage, and pay taxes. And we're looking cross-border for these exotic markets, politically risky markets, financially risky markets, when we have such a burgeoning potential here. And I think we need to stop talking about we're displacing this guy from doing this or that and saying if you have more consumers buying, everybody will have more jobs. You'll have more people buying houses because more people can afford mortgages. I think you're missing it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure. Let me set your mind to ease in one regard. The economics, I assure you, I'm not missing. But let me ask you one question, if I may. And that is, does growth become a unsatisfactory model for the nation's economy? At what point is it no longer sustainable to keep bringing in more and more people to drive this wonderful consumer utopia you're talking about?
Is there a point at which that happens? Having consumers for my company to sell products to isn't a utopia. It's necessary for us to pay our employees our wages. Of course there's a point at which you say no, but you've got 10 million potential consumers out there that we're turning our backs on. I just can't fathom why you would do that out of some kind of a moral superiority of, well, they don't really deserve it because they snuck in. I think it's economically foolish.
Yeah, we're losing John on his cell phone.
The reality is, in my view, that you could probably have 50 million more if you wanted within the next 6 months. Just simply step back from the border, and you could probably bring in another 50 million consumers, as you call them. But you see, we're not really an economy. We're not really a marketplace, the United States. It's actually a nation. We actually have something fairly important called a political system, a free enterprise democracy and representative republic that is, first and foremost, a nation of laws. And if we were to disregard those laws so that business interests and corporate America can simply have more units of labor and more consumers rather than a nation have more citizens, we've already missed a very important premise, and that is that this nation is run by the people, of the people, by the people, for the people. That radical populist document, the Constitution, begins with the words, "We the people." And frankly, business is not primary. I hate to shock anyone, but corporate America and commerce are not the primary interests of the United States. The quality of life and the type of government we have, the standards we repair to, that is two fundamental national values, individual liberty and equality of rights, equality of opportunity, educational and economic, whole primacy in our way of life, the American way of life. And the gentleman really expresses the view of the Chamber of Commerce, the Business Roundtable, and corporate America. Never mind that schools are overcrowded. Never mind that the American taxpayer is subsidizing the illegal employment of illegal aliens, because that's good for business. And there's this attitude abroad in this country that certainly among our elected officials in both parties, that whatever's good for business is good for America. And that's palpable nonsense, and it's been rejected in various cycles over the course of our 200-year history. It should be rejected again.
An email from Carl in New Berlin. Thank you for your observation of the decline of our democracy. Do you think a third-party effort might succeed using the Internet? He goes on to say, is a party for the majority of our people far left of the sacred center?
No, I don't believe so at all. I believe the party of the people is the sacred center, if you will. This government, this country, this society of ours has always worked best when we have a government governing from the center. where most Americans live. 295 million Americans describing themselves as middle class. It tells you just about where we are with the primary elections, the Republican and Democratic parties, in which the polar extremes in both parties ideologically are the ones who drive and determine the process that leads to the selection of a candidate. Most Americans are moderate. They may be moderate left, moderate right, but they're at the center of the country. An independent movement, in my opinion, would succeed and succeed tremendously because is one of the things that's happening, Joy, that people aren't paying too much attention to, certainly in mainstream media, is more people are registering as independents than ever before. More people are describing themselves as independents than either Republican or Democrat. That opportunity for an independent candidacy to succeed, I think, is at hand.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Dave in Shelbsburg. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I have a statement and then a question, and first and foremost, thank you, Lou, for picking up that rally and carrying the flag for those two border agents. Keep up the good work there. Second of all, I swear if I ever, I pledge if I ever meet my senators face-to-face, Cole and, losing the name right
Feingold.
Now. Feingold, of course. I want to ask them, what are they doing at Wisconsin Central Time, 6 p.m., and if they're not watching your show, what a waste or misuse of their time, because there's all the answers right there of what they need to fix is watching your show 1 hour. My question is, when it comes to the candidates running for office, the presidency, has anyone stated in public, I'm going to stop the war, bring the troops home, put them a quarter mile apart, back-to-back, along our border, and fix two terrible wrongs at the same time, end this war, and cover our border? I'll take my answer off the air.
The answer is no, they haven't. And and you raise one of the critical questions. We put 160,000 troops into Iraq, as this president says, to spread democracy. Yet we will not secure our own borders at our own ports. This makes absolutely no sense. There's no philosophical reason for it, no strategic reason. And so why the American mainstream media is not asking this question of every presidential candidate in every debate is beyond me. How can you leave this nation undefended at its borders, at its ports, 95% of the cargo entering this country, absolutely uninspected, and putting the American public at risk? The nonsense continues, and these partisans continue braying at each other over issues that are so irrelevant, frankly. You know, at what point do we really care whether someone's for gay marriage, for gun control, for all of these side issues that have very little to do with the quality of life in this country or the real political process, because not a single one as president will speak or act on that issue.
Yeah.
Well,
certainly a candidate, Republican candidate Tom Tancredo is speaking to these issues and is coming out and just came out with a second ad that's kind of scary, talking about how open borders or lack of border control might mean terrorists coming into the country or crime coming into the country with illegal immigration.
Joy, I stand corrected. I was talking about top-tier candidates, not the second tier. Yeah. For that matter, Ron Paul talks about some of the important constitutional issues. But his candidacy is not what I would consider to be first-tier or mainstream.
Yeah, I'm wondering why you think that. If this is an issue of great importance to the center, why those candidates aren't doing better?
Because they're basically one-issue candidates, in point of fact, in the case of Tom Tancredo. And I think, secondly, Tancredo is limited by the fact that he is an immigration restrictionist. My views on border security are probably even stronger than Tancredo's. But the reality is I support immigration. I believe it's an important quality of this great, diverse society of ours. And I believe we should expand, not limit immigration. If it's a matter of public policy, we determine we need to bring in more immigrants. We bring in more than 2 million a year lawfully today. But part of the propaganda war is being waged by the ethnocentric interest groups in corporate America is that to listen to their blather, you would assume that we've shut down immigration into this country. But in fact, the opposite is true. We're bringing in more people than ever before.
Yeah. What do you, Lou Dobbs, think needs to happen to the 12 million or so, or however many illegal immigrants are currently in the country?
Well, Joy, I've called for a rational, humane, and effective immigration policy in this country. The reality is we also have a border issue. And what is happening, when I excuse me, when I mentioned that there's a lot of blather and just specious nonsense going on the part of whether it's Ted Kennedy or at one point it was John McCain, whichever group it is talking at the time, they ignore the reality. You cannot change substantively immigration reform unless you control immigration. Would you agree with that proposition, Greg?
Probably, yeah.
And you cannot control immigration if we do not secure our borders and our ports. And it has to be sequential. It can't be, quote-unquote, comprehensive, because one is utterly dependent on the other.
Yeah. Close our borders, though, then what about the illegal immigrants?
Close the border. You said close it. I'm not asking anybody to close a border. I'm talking about securing a border. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking anybody to close a port. I'm saying secure the port. I'm not asking anyone to quit shipping exports and imports through our ports. I am asking them to inspect those imports.
Right. I guess I'm still trying to find out what you think ought to be done about the 12 million.
But what I'm telling you, there is no way to answer the question until the condition precedent is met.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sure. Mike in New Berlin. Hi, you're on the air.
Actually, Berlin.
Oh, sorry.
The issues you're talking about, immigration reform, $50 trillion debt we're handing to our kids, Iraq, on and on and on. We're not going to solve any of these problems because there's a 60-vote threshold in the Senate. We've got the Christian right controlling the right. We've got MoveOn.org and others on the left, pulling them to the left, and both parties to win the primary have to go that way. I don't know if the guest is familiar with this movement called Unity08.com, actually.
Yeah.
There is a huge effort. It's not going to get the 20 million they want, but to actually elect not an independent, but a Republican and a Democrat on one presidential ticket, the goal being to draw people to the center and actually govern from the center, as the guest is suggesting, realizing that the wheels have come off of government. And because of that 60-vote threshold, you're simply not going to solve issues unless you get some cooperation, dropping the extreme issues on the left and right.
What do you think of that Unity 08 movement?
I think it's an intriguing idea. I don't think it's one that has, fundamentally, the idea of advancing a Republican and a Democrat, as you might guess, is anathema to me. Democrats and Republicans have plenty of support in their own political apparatus. Certainly the people don't, but the partisans do. This country has functioned for 200 years with a very effective two-party system. I believe in the two-party system. I just don't believe in these two parties. And the idea that you could force a vote from the center because you've elected a Democrat and a Republican on the same ticket, I think, is absurd. We have to have, in my judgment, an independent candidacy, an independent movement. I would prefer an independent populist movement, which states clearly and unequivocally that the people will be first. And corporate America and the $2 billion it's spending in Washington to lobby our elected officials will be pushed back to the sidelines rather than as active participants in the arena.
Yeah. Zalman in Fish Creek. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's a pleasure talking to Lou Dobbs. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
And agree with you virtually 100%. Aside from you leading an independent campaign for president, which I would recommend, why not a Republican and Democrat? For example, Ron Paul and John Edwards. Unless you're going to say you're going to lead it.
Well, that's an interesting idea because I think the two of them, together, they come up with some ideas that I happen to share passionately. That is, constitutionally, Absolutely the support of individual rights and equal opportunity in the case of Ron Paul. In the case of John Edwards, he is obviously a populist with some limitations because he is also a Democrat. But together, their ideas could combine to form a very interesting candidacy. The problem is, you know, that simply isn't going to happen. And one of the mistakes that we make in this country is continuing to pursue group and identity politics and one-issue candidacies and voters. We've got to rise above that and look to our fundamental national issues and values and make determinations about governance. The reality is, until we register as independents, and millions of us are doing so, by the way, and push back against these parties and serve notice that we're not going to be taken for granted by the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and we're not going to be taken for fools by these parties and their candidates, very little is going to change. We have to ask, what has happened in the last quarter century that has made partisan politics in this country something ugly and even obscene? And certainly ineffective. And I believe the answer lies in the fact that group and identity politics have overwhelmed any perspective for the common good and the national interest. And the single greatest crisis in this country is the failure of these two parties to represent the rule of the majority.
Yeah.
The basic, fundamental, and essential tenet of democracy is that the majority rules. That is not occurring in this country today.
Jake and Menasha, almost out of time, Jake.
Quickly, Lou, keep up the good fight. I'm a regular viewer for many, many years. One small criticism: you have to watch that temper of yours. it's not very becoming. That's a very, very small criticism. Do you have any recommendations for independent presidential candidates for us?
I wish I did. I wish I knew who would step forward. I really believe that one or two perhaps may step forward in the next 90 days. Much like Ross Perot did in 1992. I'm very hopeful of that. This great country can do better than produce mirror images of one another's elites, as we did in 2004, Kerry and Bush, both sons of privilege, both graduates of Yale, both members of Skull and Bones, and we call that an election and a year of choice. And as to your criticism of my temper, I think you understand why my wife doesn't think I would do very well as a political candidate because I would lose that temper within 24 hours,
well,
I assure you.
Sometimes temper and passion for an issue can be confused. Thank you very much for being with us.
Joy, great to be with you. Thank you.
Lou Dobbs, author of Independence Day, Awakening the American Spirit. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.